I've got a praise I have to share, and I guess it's fitting in regards to it being Thanksgiving weekend. Of course, I'll be talking somewhat about that. But do you ever stop and think how much it takes for a church to be able to function, to be able to run efficiently and effectively? We have so many people to be thankful for here. So many people. Worship team, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for Blaine, huh? Alea and Rosie coming on board. And for Heidi, doesn't she always do a good job in preparing? Amen. I was thinking as I was sitting there, I began to write myself just a little list. Things that sometimes many of you sitting in the pew never even think about. Like when the light bulbs go out. People coming in here to make sure the bulbs are in. Lawn care. How many of you never even have to think or worry about that? The teachers. Then we've got our Bible quizzing. Right now we've got, I don't know how many ladies in the kitchen, all the more making sure that when we're done with this service, it'll be ready for the potluck. The people who took time to come in early, Bobby's one of them, to help set up the chairs and the tables. Man, I could go on and on and on. And it makes me thankful for all of you. And I share a prayer that, a frustration that I was wrestling with. But praise the Lord, as he often does, he comes through. We were needing a sound man. And in comes a new family, and one day we're up there, and up comes the stairs, and he stands at the top. He looks at me, I look at him, and he says, I used to do sound in my last church. Amen? Praise the Lord for answered prayer. We have so much to be thankful for. I think Kate in the back, another one coming in and playing the piano. A board, which is often has oversight concerning all sorts of things, financial things that we have to be on top of. As well as sometimes things that the church has to deal with in working these things through. We have a good church. And the fellowship that we often have, it's been sweet. I'm thankful for that. I called it the Supper 12 Club. I think I'm going to have to change it to Supper 29 Club. It's so rich. And then what we have here, there are so many churches right now where they don't have God. They're just going through the motions. And we have so many examples of God having answered prayer here. And just so much to be thankful that we are a Bible-believing church. Amen? So a lot to be thankful for. And I hope no one feels offended if I left anybody out. It's just as hard to cover everybody. But thank you for all of you. All right, this morning I've titled this sermon, The Power of Gratitude. One of the things that companies will do, as well as individuals, is they'll pay a fair amount of money to go hear some of these motivational speakers. And I'm sure even as I say motivational speaker, some of you might be thinking of that tall guy with the dark hair. Anyone know his name? See him on TV? Tony Robbins. Another throwback, which I have always loved, is Zig Ziglar. But what makes these motivational speakers so popular is because they give people hope. Hope in a way where they're, as they listen to them, that there's something in their life they might be able to turn around. One of the things that they'll often do is, in their speaking, is cause people to look introspectively. And by that I mean where they take a deep look within. And that's so important because nowadays we have a lot of this victimhood mentality, looking to blame others instead of looking to see where we might be the blame. Another thing they do is they will cause us to stop and just take an inventory of our life, of the things that we have to be grateful for. Gratitude is one of the things that can absolutely turn some of the worst nightmares around, no matter what the situation is. I was listening to Oprah Winfrey once, And she was talking about one of the things that turned her life around. In fact, I think she used the word revolutionized her life, was when she was challenged to start writing down in a book every day five things that she was thankful for. And some of them were things as simple as someone opening up the door for her. But she said it revolutionized her life. What's interesting is that when God first instituted his laws in the book of Leviticus, one of the things that he would have the people provide for him was a thank offering. In 2 Chronicles 33, we have King Manasseh. There's no excuse for him not knowing the God of Israel. But he completely strayed away, started turning to other gods, doing abominable things. The people of Israel starting to turn away. God even sent them his word, such as through prophets, of their need to repent. But he wouldn't. And as a consequence, in comes the king of Assyria, captures him, not only puts him in chains, but get this. I was reviewing this, and in my footnotes, it mentioned putting a hook in his nose, taking him off to Babylon. While in Babylon and while he's in prison, he's rethinking everything. The success his nation once had under which God? Jehovah God. And so he humbles himself before the Almighty. God becomes so moved at how much he humbled himself that not only does he set Manasseh free from the prison in Babylon, he ends up back on his throne. Boy, we serve a good God, do we not? One of the things that he did when he was put back on his throne was he made sure that once he was back in Jerusalem, that they had a thank offering to God. A thank offering is one of three types of fellowship offerings. And I'm sharing this because one of the things that can help maintain a sweet fellowship between people as well as people and their God is when they're making sure that no matter what happens in their life, they realize they've got something to be thankful for. I'm going to throw this in just as a side note. When one of our Supper 22 clubs or 29 clubs, Nancy Fox had shared about how she had become very, very sick. And she had made up her mind, well, I shouldn't say made up her mind, she just felt the Lord was impressing on her to praise God, which is a form of thanking God, where I am thankful enough to give you thanks and praise above my sickness because you're that great. And to her amazement, within that hour, she found herself healed. There's something about praise, there's something about thanks, there's something about worshiping God where we're always holding him above our problems that can cause the heart and one's life to be set free. One example would be Paul, and I believe it was Silas. They're in the deepest prison, chained. Instead of moping and groping and complaining about their situation, what did they begin to do? Yeah, to worship God. And what did that do? The chains fall off. There's something about praising God, thanking God, worshiping God that should come from gratitude for our God that can set us free. Gratitude. If you're taking notes, I encourage you, write this down. Gratitude greatly protects and preserves relationships. Well, the number one thing that destroys relationships is when there is no longer this gratitude or a demonstration of it, where people no longer find themselves feeling appreciated. When that's not there, that can destroy relationships. Psalms 50, verse 23 says in regards to the Lord, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation." Appreciation works because it's a way of not only honoring God, it's a way of honoring people that we are in relationship with. Isn't it true? It's one of the reasons why we have appreciation dinners. It's because it's meant to honor them. It's a way to honor someone. If we do this in our homes, there's a lot of healing and restoration that can take place out of that. Those who feel appreciated are the ones who feel valued. They are the ones who end up having this sense of significance, which gives their life all the more meaning, which all the more gives them a sense of satisfaction with life. That's a part of what our job's supposed to be with one another. One of the best ways to show a heart of gratitude, and I encourage you to write this down, one of the best ways to show a heart of gratitude, never complain. Strive to never complain. Instead of complaining, when we find ourselves where there is something perhaps we could complain about, we say to ourselves, no. You forgot to buy? No. Thank you for shopping. I asked you 3 times to do? No. I know you've got a lot of stress and it's distracting you. Not only distracting your mind, but weighing you down on your heart. I asked you 3 times to mow the lawn. I'm thankful. No, I'm thankful for all the times you do mow the lawn. And besides, I appreciate you more than what the neighbors think. Honey, thank you for week after week, and now it has been year after year. When I open up my drawer, there are my clothes, clean and folded. That's why I'm not going to complain. I don't have any underwear. Besides, when we're hoping that someone will do something for us, isn't it a whole lot more rewarding when we know they are doing it because they know we appreciate them? Versus if they're doing it because they might fear we might complain. One action or request that is done on our behalf is motivated out of love because of appreciation that comes from gratitude. The other action or request that's being done on our behalf, such as being motivated out of fear, well, they'll do it because they don't want the stress. They don't want to hear the complaining. One action is motivated out of love, while the other action is motivated out of fear of preservation. I don't want to be in trouble. Gratitude in a home for even the small things helps maintain a healthy environment of love. Thank you for remembering to pick that up for me. Thank you for leaving me a note by sending me a text. No, I'm not annoyed. The truth is, I would have forgotten. Or leaving them a note that lets them know that you love them. Or leaving them a note that lets them know, don't think that little thing you did went unnoticed. No, it did not. Let them know that. Thank you when you bring me the coffee. Or a text that simply says, thank you for being patient with me. I want you to know I took notice. That just didn't slip by me. I took notice. Thank you. Showing appreciation, it not only inspires the heart, it can change a person's heart. Where others will all the more be willing and wanting to do the things that we're hoping that they will do for us. Our gratitude of others is so important because what it does is it will reinforce their behavior that we're hoping that they'll continue to do because we appreciate them. Lack of gratitude of others can stop the blessings that are meant to be ours. Lack of gratitude can cause people with time to do less and less and less and less. And then we begin to wonder why. They may not even understand why. It's also true concerning our relationship with God. A lack of gratitude can absolutely destroy people's relationship to God. Where we find that there seems to be less and less and less of His hand working in our life. And little do we realize we've become like the Israelites. On their way to the promised land, they began to find themselves losing the what of God, the favor of God. Why? Because they began to complain. Complaining is deathly. We don't ever want to be among those who one day realize just how much valued they have versus when some begin to realize how much value that something had because now they're about to lose it. That's a sad way to know the value of something. The Israelites, they lost the favor of God. Gratitude helps prevent that, not only in our relationship with God, but with one another. How else can one attain an attitude of gratitude? Well, one way is just like the old song that we used to sing. You know it well. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. As often is the case, research has borne this out. Isn't that interesting about research? It takes them only about 100 years to catch up with the Bible. Where the Bible says this way ahead of them, but they do the research and they find out one of the greatest things that can profoundly affect a relationship, can profoundly affect the way people view you, is when you show a spirit of gratitude. There was an article in psychology, it's called Psychology Today, when I was in college many years ago. A part of my degree involves having to take a minimum of 3 classes that involve psychology. And I'm pretty sure that's where I was first introduced to it. And of course you learn, you gotta be careful. A lot of Psychology Today can have a real worldly twist. But then again, when they're spot on, it's so invigorating and so encouraging when you see, this is what the Bible predicted long before you came along. For example, there's a Dr. Hans Selle. He's considered one of the number one stress specialists in America. And in Psychology Today, he said, gratitude is the healthiest of all emotions that you can have. He goes on to say, the best antidote to stress, the best way to counteract it is an attitude of gratitude. From that same article, there was a lady named Dr. Sonia, I'm sure I'm butchering her name, Lebromsky. She has a list of like 8 things that gratitude produces in relationships between people. I'm not sharing all of them, but a few of them was it promotes positive life experiences, interchange between people. It bolsters self-esteem and self-worth. If you will show gratitude in your hard times, it will help you better deal with trauma. It helps build social bonds between people. It prevents us from taking things for granted, as well as helps prevent us from taking people, not just things, for granted. And they suggest what people need to do is have a notebook and make a list in that notebook and write down the things you're grateful for. Like Oprah Winfrey, it can revolutionize your life. As I thought about this, it reminds me of a story of Zig Ziglar. He's one of those motivational speakers that I mentioned earlier. And he shares a story that relates this point well. What had happened was he was scheduled to be a speaker at this convention. And he received a phone call, it sounds like from one of his secretaries, asking if he would please meet with this lady before he speaks at the convention. She's just overwhelmed with life. Well, it was tight, but he said that he would do it. When this lady saw him at the convention, you know, he's kind of behind the stage still. She didn't care. She walked right across the stage, made a beeline to him. And as she did, Zig Ziglar said, "I've never seen so much anger, you know, like on a person's face, as I saw in this woman coming to me." And you could tell she was just spewing and venting anger. And by the time she got to him, she almost broke down in tears. She said, "I am so glad to see you." And then she went on to relate about how horrible her job was. And not only that, everything about it and everybody that was a part of it. Pure negativity just spewing out. And then as she spoke, she said, "I hope you can help me." He said he wasn't trying to be rude, but because of time constraints and he has to speak, he kind of has to cut to the chase. And he said this, he said, "Ma'am, I think the problem that you have is about to get worse." She said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "I believe you're going to end up fired from your job." How's that for encouragement? He said she was stunned. "Fire me? Why fire me?" As if they're the ones that need to be fired. He went on to say, "Do you ever notice that people who are the problem almost never seem to recognize they are the problem? They're in complete denial." He said rather boldly, "I think there isn't a company in America that contain all the poison that you're exuding." How's that again for encouragement? She said, "Well, what do I do?" And Zig Ziglar says, "Do you really want to know what to do?" She said, "Yes, I do. That's the reason why I came to see you. But you haven't been any help so far." He said, "Well, I have an idea that will work for you, if you're just willing to do it." And she said, "I am willing to try anything within reason." He said, "When you get home, right after you're done with all your household chores or your tasks, I want you to get off into a room by yourself. I want you to take out a sheet of piece of paper. I want you to title at the top, 'Why I Like My Job.'" And right there, she interrupted him. Before he could get another word out, she said, "That list will be easy because there isn't anything I like about my job or those people." He then asked her, "Just curious, do you work for them for charity?" You know where this is going. "Well, no." "Do they pay you?" "Yes." "Do you like to be paid?" "Well, of course." "Please write that down." She thought about it. She had a notebook under her arm. He said, No. "Let's do it right now. Open up that notebook under your arm and let's start making a list of the things that you can be grateful for concerning your job." But instead of opening up the book, she just stood there kind of defiantly, just looking at him. And so he said, "Ma'am, here's my experience in life. It's 100% true without exception. Those people who will not take step one will never get to step two." Thank goodness he was a little persistent, because he said to her, "Please open up that book and let's make a list now." Still, she wouldn't do it. So then he said to her, "It's been nice knowing you." And she knew what that meant. He was about to leave. So what does she do? She whips open the book in anger and starts writing down, "Why I like my job. I get paid." He said, "It turns out that while she's writing this list, it's amazing how it's beginning to grow. She got paid above average for her job. She had 3 weeks of vacation. She had a retirement program. And in addition to that, she was a part of a health insurance. She had life insurance, and she even had accidental insurance. She lived less than 10 minutes away from work. She would often be able to be sent by the company on seminars to get away from work and be able to, on their dime. They paid for everything. She had her own private office. She was a part of another type of like pension plan. By the time she was done, she had 22 things listed on that list. Zig Ziglar then let her know, now there's two more things I want you to do. Review this list every day before you get to work and change those words from I like to why I love my job. It says doing this thing will help you go from being a fault finder to a good finder. Well, some time passes. About 6 weeks later, she finds out he's speaking and has another speaking engagement, and she makes up her mind to go. Zig Ziglar says one of the reasons why he knew that she was there was because she was sitting on the front in the front row, and he said she had a smile that was so wide she could have eaten a banana sideways. So he asked her, how are you doing? She said, wonderfully. Thank you for asking. She then said, you cannot believe how much those people at my work have changed. One of the best ways to get people to change towards you is by showing a heart of gratitude. One of the best ways to get people to have their hearts turn towards you is by being grateful. It's not only natural where it will cause natural blessings to fall in place, but it will cause blessings not only to fall in place in your life, but begin to multiply and multiply and multiply. You know, as I thought about that thought, one of the things that came to my mind were the loaves and the fishes. And isn't it interesting? When did those loaves and fishes begin to multiply? It was after Jesus gave thanks. I think there's a message in that. I think there's a message in that. The more we show thanks, the more we're going to see not only blessings come, but we're going to begin to see things multiply. Multiply, multiply in our life. Oh, how we need to make sure that we follow God's word. And God's word has always either alluded to this, doing these kinds of things, or plainly telling us to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, worthy of praise, think about these things. Why does the Bible say think about these things? Because the more you think about them, the more you'll become like them. The Bible says, as a person thinketh, so is he. Does it not say that? If you're surrounding your mind around positive things, you're going to become a positive person. Versus if you're surrounding your thoughts constantly around negative things, and this has gone wrong and that has gone wrong, you'll become a negative person. And what that will do is create a distance between you and people. And with enough of that, with time, if you're ungrateful, it'll create a distance between you and God. I really believe it's one of the reasons why a lot of things just seem to unfold in one person's life versus in the other next person's life. One of the things that Satan wants is God's people to end up like the people who are on their way to the promised land, where they lose that sense of gratitude because all they're focusing on is on everything that might be going wrong in their life. Think on these things. We should take it a step further. We should make a list of those things and review them. Lastly, why should we always be able to demonstrate a heart of gratitude no matter what might unfold in our life? One reason why is because of our salvation. Amen? Life can get no worse than one day my receiving the total consummation of my salvation when we will rise from the dead with a new body. But until then, we need to learn to count our blessings. Learn to be thankful. Made me think of Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. It's David praising his God. It says this: "Praise the Lord, my soul, all of my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and don't forget his what? Amen. Praise the Lord, the one who forgives all your sins." Hallelujah. "Who redeems you from the pit, crowns you with love, has crowned you with his compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like with the eagle." This passage tells us, do not forget any of his benefits. So I've wrote a few down. I'm going to ask if you would, just think about some of these things. Here's a list. Lord God, thank you for this day. It's another gift from you to me. Amen. Thank you for the hard times, Lord, because without them, it would not have produced the godly character I now have that I know I needed. Thank you, Lord, for those hard times. Because it was because of those hard times my understanding grew, and I have a wisdom I would never have had before had I not gone through those hard times. Thank you, Lord, for those times when I went through poverty. Those financial times when I wondered, how was I going to pay that next bill? Because after it was all said and done, you increased my faith. You answered my prayer that you would increase my faith. And Lord, I thank you too for those hard times in which it was financially tight. Because it's because of those things, now that I do have more of an abundance, I am willing to be more generous with those who are now at that place where I once was. Thank you, Lord, for grace, where you do not deal with me according to my sins. And because of it, I can now myself give more grace to those who've done me wrong. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of my sins. Because of your assurance, I no longer have to fear the consequences of my sin that judgment day would have put me under. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy, where you don't remind me of my sins, of my past sins. Therefore, they don't haunt me like they used to. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you give me, where you tell me, put those things behind you and start looking ahead, because your word tells me you have a future where you plan to prosper me. Thank you, Lord, for the new life that you gave me. And when you gave me that new life, you made me a child of God. Thank you, Lord, when you adopted me, you gave me proof that I'm your child, not just because now you've been answering my prayers more, but because you've given me your spirit that sometimes stirs within me, and because of it, I yearn for you and your ways. Thank you, Lord, for a dad and mom. And if not a dad and mom, at least for those who provided me food and shelter while I was growing up. Thank you, Lord, for being like a doctor where at times you hurt me. But like I said last week, it never harmed me. Thank you for eyes so that I can see the beauty of your creation. From the dawn of the sun to the shining of the stars at night to the beauty of the rainbow after the rain. Thank you, Lord, for smell, where I smell not only the fragrance after the rain, but the fragrance that's found in the rose. Thank you for the gift of taste, from the sweetness to the apple, the orange, to honey. As they remind me, they are only a foreshadow of the sweet things I will one day taste in paradise. Thank you, Lord, for although there is a lot of hunger in this world, I've never had to miss one meal. Amen? Thank you for the experience of love and being loved. Thank you, Lord, for my husband. Even if he does leave the toilet seat up, he provides for me. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Despite my not finishing that honey-do list, she still loves me. Thank you, Lord, for the time when I thought you might punish me, but instead you were patient with me. And what really humbled me was when I knew I should have been punished, instead you blessed me. Do we not serve a good God? Thank you, Lord, for when that day comes, I know when I walk through the valley of death, you're going to be with me. I'm never alone. Thank you, Lord, no matter how bad things get, it does not have to rule my spirit because you've given me your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, no matter how bad things get, you have taught me to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And also thank you that your word promises me, so long as I'll just hang in there and exercise faith, you will work all things out for good. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you for their little hands. Thank you for their little feet. Thank you for their kisses. For their kisses are just an extension of your own. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of hearing. For one day I heard the most precious story that moved me so much because it was a story filled with your love and it caused me to receive salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder the word of the Lord says, such as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here's the thought that I'm going to in part close with. When someone focuses on gratitude, that will cause you to all the more not want to sin against God. That's why gratitude is so important. So thank you, Lord. I will give thanks for all things. It's because of some of those problems that I now understand that song that says, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I have learned to trust in God, and because of it, I do have that peace which passes all understanding, where I don't panic like the world does when things go wrong because I have something they don't, and that's God as my Savior. Psalms 103, may we remember his benefits. May we remember his benefits. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we praise you, and we thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the riches, and thank you for the gems, and thank you for the promises. Thank you for the diamonds. Oh, Lord, diamonds filled with truth, they're able to maintain and keep a heart and a mind stable. Oh, the riches that are found in Christ alone concerning our salvation. Oh, Father, we praise you. Like we sang this morning, you are a good, good God, You are a good, good God. You are a good, good God. Thank you, Lord, in one of the ways in which you are good and were good was you don't deal with us according to our iniquities. We thank you and we praise you. May we be careful, Lord God, to always review, even maybe make a list of the things we have to be thankful for. And we thank you, Lord. They are endless, absolutely endless. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.